and he's still in control. If you have your Bible with you, will you please turn to that passage, Isaiah chapter 6. And with the word of God open, we want to turn to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord that he'll give us help. How much we need that help to be able to preach the word of God. But no doubt as we come to this text and passage of the word of God, it ought to be a challenge to every child of God in this meeting. Hear those words as the Lord, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in communion together. And they say, who will go for us? Who will go for us? Who will speak of our glory? Who will speak of the power of the cross? Who will go for us? Isaiah says, here am I, sent me. I wonder, is there one in the meeting today? The Lord is challenging your heart for full-time service. But the Lord is challenging your heart to go to some dear soul today and to bring the message of the gospel to them and to tell them of their great need to be saved. Are you going to reply as Isaiah did? Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me. With the word of God open, let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee again, Lord, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in this meeting. We thank You, Lord, for these wonderful hymns that we've been singing together. And Lord, we thank Thee today for how great Thou art. And Lord, as we look around us and see all the beauty of Thy handiwork, Lord, how much we've got to say, how short we come, even in our praise and adoration, Lord, to Thee. Lord, we think of these families today that are bereaving. We think of the West family and the Castles family. Oh God, we pray that Thou wilt comfort them. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt draw near to them. That, Lord, around about them and underneath them, they will know the everlasting arms of our Saviour. And there, Lord, standing somewhere in the shadows, they may find the Lord and know His presence with them. Lord, as we come now to turn to Thy word, O God, help us each one, Lord, to listen to what Thou would have to say to each one of our hearts. Lord, speak to us through Thy word. O God, open up our eyes that we're able to behold the wondrous things from out of Thy law. Lord, we need the help of the Holy Spirit, and we pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to come upon the preacher, upon the congregation, and Lord, to take our hearts and to write Thy word upon our hearts. But Lord, that we leave this building today saying, it was good for us to be here, for here we met afresh with the Lord. Lord, help this preacher. What am I, Lord? I'm only the clay. But Lord, Thou art the potter. Fill us with Thy Spirit and use us for Your honor and for Your glory in the Savior's name. Amen. First of all, I would like to bring your attention to this passage of Isaiah chapter 6. And we see here that Isaiah is given a vision from the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, there are four things that I'd like to bring out in this passage of the Word of God that Isaiah saw that day when he was alone with the Lord. First of all, he had an upward look. Secondly, he had an inward look. And then he had an outward look. And then fourthly, he had a forward look. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come into this passage of Isaiah chapter 6, we find that Israel is in mourning. We find that this land is in chaos and in confusion, and the future of the land is unknown. Because it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. So we begin to see the time that Isaiah saw the Lord. It was in the year that King Uzziah died. It was in the year in the midst when Israel as a nation was in mourning and in confusion and the future of it was uncertain. But it was in that year that Isaiah got alone with the Lord. It was in that year that Isaiah came aside and began to seek God. And in the midst of darkness and confusion and trouble, Isaiah could pen these words, I saw also the Lord. I wonder, ladies and gentlemen, and young people, Are you in this service this morning, this afternoon, with trouble? With anxiety? With uncertainty? Not knowing what lies ahead? Could you and I not learn from Isaiah today that in the midst of our troubles that we would get alone with God, that we would find a little sacred place, a little quiet place, we would get our Bibles open and begin to pray and seek God, that we could maybe pen in our diaries, in that year, in the year of confusion, in the year of trouble, in the year of uncertainty, it was in that year that I saw the Lord. You see, Isaiah, he draws aside and he begins to look upward. Ladies and gentlemen and young people, it's not until we draw aside. It's not until we begin to get alone with God, taking our eyes off the things of the world, taking our eyes off the problems that are around us, and begin then to look up. Because it's not until we begin to look up that we will begin to see the Lord. What did the Lord say in His Word? When you see all these things come to pass, look up, for your salvation draweth nigh. And we live in a world of confusion. We live in a world of chaos and of sin. And sin seems to be ripening and progressing at a rate that's quicker than we all know. But ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of all of this, we've got to continue to look up. We've got to. Because we know the Lord is coming again. All these things that are happening throughout our world and throughout our land, they're pointing to one thing. The coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Lord says, whenever all these things come to pass, look up, for your salvation draweth nigh. Dear brother or sister, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your discouragements, your disappointments, look up. Look up. And that's what Isaiah did. Rather than concentrating on what was happening throughout the nation, Isaiah looked up. And in his look upward, he saw the Lord. And he saw the Lord in His glory. He saw the Lord in His power. He saw the Lord in His majesty. What a vision that day when Isaiah began to look up. He saw God in all of His glory. He said there, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. You see where He's at today? You see, Christ was lifted up on a tree. From a tomb, He rose to the throne. He came for a season in a humble abode of earth. But today, He's lifted up and exalted on high. And He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And He's interceding in our behalf. Ladies and gentlemen, today, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And when Isaiah looked up, he began to see the Lord. He began to see the Lord sitting, lifted up, sitting on His throne, in majesty, in glory, and in power. Oh, how His attention was being taken off the things of earth. He was no longer looking at what was happening throughout the land. Isaiah was completely focused, and he was focused on the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, as a church and a congregation, ought that not to be our prime goal, that we get our focus right, that we get our focus set again upon the Lord, forgetting of all that's happening around about us, and keep our eyes on the Lord, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. How Isaiah was beginning to be encouraged. What Isaiah realized when he saw, when he looked up and he saw the king sitting on his throne. Isaiah realized this. He says, Israel's king is dead, but the God of Isaac and Jacob and the God of Abraham, He's still alive. The king of all the earth, He still reigns. And He's still on His throne. And Isaiah realized that kings and queens and princes will come and go, but Jehovah changeth not. Jehovah changes not.
Ladies and gentlemen, you and I, can we not draw heart from that this morning? In the midst of our troubles and trials and difficulties, can we not look up heavenward today? And may God give us a fresh glimpse of seeing Christ sitting on His throne, reigning in glory, interceding on our behalf, our advocate with the Father, reigning. Come to the tree and see Him redeeming. Come to the tomb and see Him rising. Come to the throne and see Him reigning. Is that not a beautiful thought today? And Isaiah looked up. Isaiah saw the Lord. Did you ever ask your question when King Uzziah died? Why did he die? Why was this great king of Israel cut off so quick in the prime of his life? You see, Uzziah was one of Israel's greatest kings. He reigned tremendously and powerfully. Even God made his enemies to be at peace with them. But you see, my dear friend, there was one thing that happened in Uzziah's life was he became a leper. And he was a leper unto the day of his death. And when you look at King Uzziah, it can be said of one as this, one who started well, but didn't finish well. If you turn with me, please, in your Bible, to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And we get the whole background of Uzziah the king's life. You also get him there in 2 Kings chapter 15 and verse 7, where the Lord smote him with leprosy. But there was a purpose and there was a reason why the Lord smote him. But I want you to see this in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And it says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. He's a young king. He's coming into the monarchy very, very young at 16 years of age. And he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. And if you go down to verse 4, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father. Here was a lad who was following after his father's footsteps, and he was doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He was putting things right again for God and for His glory. He was starting out well. He reigned for 52 years. And look at verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and visions of God, and was as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Do you see it? He's not only a king, he's not only a reigning monarch, but he's a praying man. He's a man on the throne of authority, but he's a man who seeks God. And as much as he seeks God in everything he does, God makes his ways to prosper. Oh, how we pray for praying monarchs today. Oh, only if they would seek the Lord. Only if they would turn to the Word of God for inspiration and wisdom. Maybe we would not see half the filth that's coming through our land today. But here was a king who set his heart early in life to seek God. And every time he sought the Lord made his ways to prosper. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lesson there for us. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put God first in your life. They that honor me, I will honor. And here was a king early in life who put God first in his life, rather than him knowing he had the authority of the land, yet he was answerable to one who was higher than him. And he sought God for wisdom. He sought God for understanding. He sought God for all the ways that he should walk. And if you have time today, you can take time yourself. If you read through verses 6 and down to verses 11, you will find in verse 6, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines. And if you go down to verse 7, it says, and God helped them. He went out to battle and he warred against the enemies of the cross, against the enemies of God. And as he went out to battle, God helped them. And ladies and gentlemen, as we and I seek God in prayer, as we go out against the enemies of the cross, God will help us too. Get that into your mind. Where has the Lord set them today? Yes, the wicked will prosper for a season, but it wasn't until David went into the sanctuary that he understood the end of the wicked. And as this great king went out to battle, God went with him. God went with him. And God was with them, and God blessed them, and God helped them, and he dug, and he built towers, and he prospered in many ways, and even God made his enemies to be at peace with him. It says that the Amalekites came with gifts to him. He made his enemies to be at peace with him. Oh, here was a king. He started well. But if you come to verse 16, look how it changes. But, you see the but? But when he was strong, see it? But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction. You see, ladies and gentlemen and young people, pride can get into God's people. And I have to say the best times of our denomination of a church was when we were in the midst of persecution, in the midst of great trials. When we were just a little small band of people and there was missions rising up here, there and everywhere and God was with us and as the gospel was being preached, numbers were being added onto the church daily and such were being saved. But oh, how pride, ladies and gentlemen, can set into the hearts even of God's people. We can even pride ourselves as a great denomination and yet leave the Lord out of it all. Here was a king who God was prospering. Here was a king who God was with. Here was a king who sought the Lord. But when his heart was strong, when his heart was lifted up, it was lifted up to his own destruction. Pride cometh before the fall. Here was a man who was falling. Why? Why was that pride? What did he do that was so wrong? My dear friend, he went into the place where he was not meant to go. It says there in verse 17 or 18, when King Uzziah was stood Uzziah the kings and appeared. Here he is. He's going into the very place to offer incense unto the Lord, as it says in verse 16, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar. My dear friend, that was not the place for the king. It was not for the king to go in and to offer the sin atonement for the people. That was the job of the Levites, the priests. And this king thought, well, God's with me and no matter what I do, the Lord will make it prosper. I'm just going on in to do it anyway. And he bulled on in. And the priests, they tried to restrain him. They tried to hold him back. They pleaded with him not to go in. But in verse 19, and Uzziah was wroth and his hand a burnt incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up as they're arguing with him, as they're trying to hold him back. All of a sudden they can see the leprosy beginning to appear upon the king. But if you come over to verse 21, and I think these are very sad words that we find in verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a servile house, being a leper. Look at it. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. I think those are sad words. Cut off from the house of the Lord. If we had stopped at verse 16, you would have said, that was a mighty man for God. But how sad that the latter end of his life. He was one who started out so well, and yet ended off so disastrously. It ended up in his own death, a disease coming upon his life that became his death. But even not only was it his illness and disease that brought him to his death, even more sadder, he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, how often do we need to be careful with our actions? How often do we need to be careful with our little tongues? How often do we need to be careful what we say against another brother or sister in the Lord? Are we not the Lord's people coming together in a bond of unity and fellowship of the Spirit? That ought to be our desire, as it is the Lord said, love ye one another. because we too could soon be cut off from the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, to be sick and to be ill is one thing, but never to hear the Lord speak is another thing. Here was a man who spent time in prayer with God. Here was a man who knew what it was to commune with the Lord. But in his sickness, he was even cut off from the house of God. King Uzziah died. He died a leper. And in that year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah lifted up his eyes. And he looked upward. And he looked to heaven. And there he saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high and lifted up. And as he looked through heaven, he saw the splendor of the glory. He said above it stood the cherubims, one with six wings, twin covering his face, and with twins he covered his feet, and with twins he did fly. Man, he can see the glory and the majesty and the power that is around the throne. And then he sees them flying and crying one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Ladies and gentlemen, if heaven is in tune with one song, ought we not to be on earth in tune with that same song? Today they try to push in modernist hymns. They try to water down the gospel. They try to leave out hymns with the blood and the sacrificial work of the cross. But listen, my dear friend, if heaven is in unity and they all sing of one accord, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord," ought we as God's people not to sing it more? Oh, heaven and earth, we've got to be in tune together. Oh, how this great heavenly host. And you know, young people tonight, learn this lesson. People will come and go. Things will change. But praise God, Jesus never changes. The Word of God is still the same, quick and powerful. And Christ is coming. And one thing in heaven, it never changes. That song is still sung. Holy, holy is the Lord. Oh, my friend, when Isaiah saw that, he had an inward look. And his inward look brought him right into his own heart. My dear friend, it's not until you and I begin to see the Lord. And see the Lord in his glory and majesty and power. When we see the splendor of heaven. And as his train fills the temple. And the doorposts are moved at the speck of his voice. That Isaiah falls to his feet and he says, "Lord, I'm undone. I'm undone. Lord, I'm unworthy to stand in your presence. For holy art thou." My friend, have you ever come to the point in your life? We've had to say that same prayer, "Lord, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm unclean." The more than you and I look upon Christ, the more than you and I spend time in the presence of the Lord, the more than you and I begin to see how sinful we really are, how wicked and vile this heart is, how sinful our thoughts are, how wicked our heart is, we begin to see that we are undone. Unclean in the presence of the Lord. You know, I've heard people pray in a prayer meeting, "Lord, we are not seeing presence as Isaiah was when he was in this very moment," and says, "Whoa, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we know nothing about it. We know nothing about it. Because if we were in that same position as Isaiah was, if we were in that same atmosphere and presence, we would be the same as Isaiah. We'd be on our knees looking into the ground, afraid to look up and say, 'Lord, I'm unclean. I'm unclean.'" When Duncan Campbell went forth into the great revival in Scotland, he stepped off one boat and he stepped onto the land and he was met by one in a prayer. And this is what they said, "Duncan Campbell, is your heart prepared and ready?" And Campbell knew the moment he got off that boat, he was stepping into a different spiritual atmosphere. He was stepping into a people who were in touch with God. They had sought the Lord and their hearts were pure and they were ready for revival. Ladies and gentlemen, are we ready for revival? No. It's not until you and I begin to look up and see Christ in His glory and begin to look into our own hearts and get the sin out of our lives that's there, that's hindering and holding the blessing, that we as a people will certainly be ready for revival and ready to hail its revival. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, do we not need an upward look today? Do we not need that inward look into our own hearts? I'm pointing fingers back into my own life. I need to look into my heart and just see where I stand clear with the Lord. Is my heart clean and pure? Is my heart ready for revival? Isaiah looked in and he says, because I am a man of unclean lips. But you see, with his inward look, he looked out then. His whole vision is beginning to change. His whole atmosphere in life is beginning to change. As he looks up and sees the Lord and looks in and sees his sin, he begins to look out and he looks out on the people and he says in that verse, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. He began to realize the sin is all around him. He began to realize the very land in which he lived. He says, Lord, not only am I unclean, but this generation of people that I dwell amidst, they're unclean as well. You can't even turn on your TV today without hearing the blasphemous of the Lord's name in vain. Without hearing cursing and swearing. They're even now putting it into the ads and they're showing immorality and sex through the ads of television. Listen, ladies and gentlemen and young people, do we not dwell in the land of a people of unclean lips? I wonder you in the meeting here today, and it's nothing to you to swear and curse every day, to talk the filth and dirt of sexual things throughout your language. That's your language, unclean lips. Take your child down the town. You can hardly walk 3 shops down the town, and you'll hear the cursing and swearing of the generation that's growing up. Do we not live in a land today of unclean lips? It wasn't until Isaiah looked up that he saw the Lord. And when he saw the Lord in his power and glory, he realized he was nothing. He realized he was undone and unclean. That he looked out and he saw the nation and the land in which he lived. Ladies and gentlemen, we lost the vision of souls dying without the Lord. If we lost the vision of lost perishing souls going to a Christless eternity. Are we sitting comfortable in our little churches and our little suits, and yet we forget all about those who are dying today without the Savior? It's not until we see the Lord clearly. It's not until we begin to see ourselves as really hard that we begin to look out on a land that is needy and is ready for the gospel. And it was with that inward and outward look that Isaiah had this forward look. As he's sitting there in the presence of God and he's beginning to see all these great things that are being revealed to him by the Lord. And Isaiah begins to hear God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And they're in communion and they're speaking one to another. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are saying, who will go for us? And Isaiah says, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me. Is that the desire of your heart? Are you so busy caught up with self that you can't see the Lord? Are you so busy caught up with self you can't see even your own great need? And if you can't see your own great need, then you'll not see the need. Those who are dying without the Lord. Are you so happy as a professing Christian to say, well, let others go, but I'll not go. And yet heaven's asking the question, who will go for us? Who will go? Isaiah says, here am I. Send me. Is there a young man or a young woman in this meeting? And God's challenging your heart for full-time service. Over these weeks, unknown to many of us, you're alone with the Lord. And the Lord has now got your attention. He has stripped everything away from you. But now he has got your soul's contention. Your eyes are in him and him only. And the Lord is beginning to open to you through the scriptures and through the word of God. And God is beginning now to point you in a direction because you've had that upward look. You've had an inward look into your own heart and you see the need that is out there. And now your response is, Lord, I'm responding to this. I'm saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me. My dear friend, Ulster needs a Savior. This land is burdened with sin and many hearts are broken. And this land needs a Savior. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Will you respond to this call of the Lord? Lord, here am I. Send me. I haven't time today, but there are other men in the Bible who had a similar vision of Isaiah. I can give you the reference. Joshua in chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, saw the captain of his salvation. In Job chapter 42, Job said that he will one day, that now I have seen thee with mine eyes. Lord, I have heard of thee. Think of that. Ladies and gentlemen, Job said it himself. He said in that verse 40, in chapter 42, he says, Lord, I have heard of thee. But now I have seen thee with mine eyes. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, we have heard much of Christ. We've heard much of the preaching of the cross. And by the eye of faith, we have looked to him and we're saved and redeemed and washed in his blood. But there's coming a time in our life when we're going to stand in his presence. And as Job said, that after the worms have devoured my flesh and body, with mine eyes, I will see my Redeemer. Not wonderful? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, young people, whatever the trouble you are in today, whatever it is that's burdening you down, get your eyes upward. Get your eyes onto the Lord. Look onto him. Keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing. He will not fear. Keep on believing. He'll give faith in the night as well as in the day. John also saw the Lord in the Revelation in the Isle of Patmos. And the Lord backed that up in John's Gospel chapter 12 where he said, these things Isaiah spoke of when he saw my glory. John saw the Lord. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, may God help us today to see the Lord more clearly. May the Lord give us a great upward look, a great vision of Christ afresh, looking into our own hearts, seeing the sin and iniquity that is there in us as children of the Lord. May God, by his grace, help us to get it out of our hearts, that the Lord will make us clean and pure vessels, fit and ready for the Master's use. Oh Lord, let the fire fall. Send the fire. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit fall. May the fire of revival come. Burning ablaze through this land once again. May we respond to that call. Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts today. We're going to close and sing.